Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
This podcast is a Royfield Brown production. Find others on iTunes.
All right. Yeah, I know.
If you're listening to this podcast, and you are, you're most probably listening through a pair of headphones, which means I have the perfect sponsor with the perfect product for you. It's Studio, and they want to revolutionize the way people see headphones. It's not just a techie utility device, but also a stylish accessory. Generally, fashionable headphones tend to lack the proper sound quality, and the high-tech ones are bulky and not design-orientated. Studio bridged that gap while emphasizing sleek, modern Scandinavian design. They've created a product that matches the quality of even the highest-rated headphones on the market for a fraction of the cost. To get a 15% discount on any of their wares, go to studiosweden.com, which is spelled SUDIO Sweden.com, and simply put in the code DTD when purchasing a pair of headphones. Oh, and they make the perfect gift for Christmas.
Hi, I'm Kate Madicani Aldridge. For now, anyway. I'd like to welcome you to Spiritual Home. As a client of Spiritual Home, you've already shown that you're someone with an enlightened aura. Someone better, like me. So, I'd like to suggest that you also support Dumpty Dum at patreon.com. If you do, you can get their extra content. It's the actual meaningful stuff, not the usual drivel. It doesn't matter how much you sponsor them for. I think they're pretty desperate, to be honest. Okay? Patreon.com. And, obviously, if you ever need a vaginal steaming, you know where I am. Blessings.
This podcast is a Royfield Brown production. Find others on iTunes.
All right. Yeah, I know.
This is Dumpty Dum, the show about the reality docudrama that is centred on Ambridge in the heart of the Midlands. I'm the vintage cider that is Robert Wilson, and with me I have the mouth-puckering bottle of acid that is...
Lucy Freeman.
And the last part of the Grundy's annual Christmas catastrophe, folks, is you. This week's Dumpty Dum is from Martin Greaves, Kerry Warbis, and two other people who don't even listen to the Archers but were very drunk. And by the way, Kerry, congratulations. I saw on Twitter earlier today that she got the job.
Yay! Woohoo!
Yes, the drinks are all on you, or perhaps not. Anyway, Lucy, if someone wants to send us a Dumpty Dum, how can they do that?
If you would like to sing us a Dumpty Dum, leave us a plot prediction or discover that drinking 14 bottles of kefir a day makes you chunk up a bit, then call us on 02030313105 or leave us a message on SpeakPipe. I haven't written a Derek joke. It just says Derek's XXX. Oh, my God.
You should be able to do this. Oh,
leave
off.
This is the most difficult bit, the Derek gag. Okay, can we stop and not stop? We'll carry on. And then I'll write one and just do it back in and Royfield will have to put it in afterwards.
Okay.
It's okay.
Yeah.
Okay. God, how embarrassing. Okay. Yeah, so that's it.
Well.
Thanks to Cosmo for his podcast roundups and for doing the Dumpty Dogs, Shambridge for her voices, Mike Hatton for his character counts, and to Derek Flood in the back bedroom. Derek's at home at the moment with a warming poultice. He thoroughly enjoyed the winter weather, but is now in bed with a frozen shoulder and snowballs.
Disgusting. On this week's episode, we hear views from Claire from Clapham, who's dreading a wedding, Witherspoon, who wants a session with Ian, Auntie Jean, who wants Headley back, don't we all, and New York Nigel, who's still recovering from Brian's little chat. But first, let's brace ourselves for Lucy V. Freeman's Week in Ambridge.
We began the week with Elizabeth at Lower Loxley telling Eddie that wrestling a penguin out of the boot of her car always reminds her of Nigel. Then over in the orangery, she was having a chat with Pip, who was telling her that her baby was 100% Toby's. You'd think that with all her vast carving experience, she'd know that he couldn't really be a bit of Alfie's and a bit of Toby's, wouldn't you? Well, it was Toby who bent me over the wheelbarrow, but I'd get in the passenger seat of Alfie's car while it was still warm, so it might be a bit his baby too. We then had an interesting little segue with Ian as he jizzed into a jam jar to have his sperm tested. Ian's really got his hands full at the moment, said Piggy, with an awareness one would scarcely expect from a woman of her advanced years. Even Ian said, I don't know what my mother would make of this. Ian, I really don't think thinking about your mother is going to help fill that jam jar, regardless of what lovely woman she was. However, it all came to naught for poor Ian, as it turned out he was firing blanks. His soldiers couldn't march up the hill and his little swimmers couldn't swim without water wings. While the rest of us screamed at the radio, why can't Adam do it? Adam suddenly woke up and suggested it himself. Hey, Ian, I could jizz in a jam jar too, you know, probably. Ian, mindful of the fact that his husband has recently beaten up a mobster in a car park and has his voice control permanently set on butler in haunted house, said, nah, you are right. I'm not sure I could cope with another one of you. Brian put on his helpful hat and marched up to Ian saying, sorry to hear you're a Jaffer, old man, but don't think you're odd or anything. Well, not any odder than you are already, being a gayer and that. Hope that helped. Adam then made it slightly worse, if that was possible, by telling Ian that he couldn't be defined by a small physical. What do you mean small? Shouted Ian. The Grundys seemed to be indulging in some sort of League of Gentlemen darkness by starving the turkeys and playing Have Yourself a Merry Little Christmas to the poor bastards to get them in the mood for slaughter. To be fair, more than three consecutive songs by Nat King Cole and I'm up for a bit of slaughter myself, but that's generally when I'm in the John Lewis gift wrap department. Pat is making some sort of special trifle for Christmas dinner, said Peggy, unhappily. Well, if you do change your mind once you've tasted it, said Jenny Darling, you're very welcome to come to ours, where I will be serving up an entire roast ox to feed the three members of my family who haven't fallen out with each other, left the country or gone mad. The Pargeter twins, thick and thin, are about to be 18 and Elizabeth's feeling unsettled. It's one of the hardest times for a parent, hooted Jill, seeing your children leave, fly the nest, and settle 300 yards up the road so you can pop over to borrow a cup of writing desk whenever you feel like it. Sad news, chaps. End of an epoch. Jeff is leaving Home Farm. He's been told to stay off tractors because he has a bad back. So he's going to spend the rest of his entirely silent life hauling massive bags of potting compost around in his brother-in-law's garden centre, which will do his bad back no end of good. If anyone wants to sign the leaving card, it's in my desk and we're having a whip round to buy him a bed and spinal unit. I don't know how many people are in this ruddy Christmas show, but when Susan was having a pop at Linda, it sounded like about 175 people muttering agreement in the background. No wonder Alan can't control it, a vicar who forgot he needed to do a nativity at Christmas time. Can you imagine what his sermons must be like? And lo, it came to pass that in the city of just off the bypass, certain shepherds in fields noticed a thingy, in the sky celebrating the birth of old what's-his-face, the baby, you know. At the stables, Shula was, just for a change, miserable. All those two ever say to each other is, what's the matter? Nothing. What's the matter? Nothing. It's like being trapped inside a Harold Pinter play in the 1970s. But 'tis the season to get indigestion, and Ian let his crazed imagination run amok on the gay Grable's clientele for his gala night. Shula had a mouthful of Charlie's pockets, which consisted of a Trojan Magnum, half a pack of Hall soothers and a damp Kleenex. Adam popped in to say good luck and discovered Ian outside. Lexi said you'd be having a crafty drag out here, said Adam. Well, I find it relaxing, said Ian, flinging his feather boa over his shoulder. Adam rushed over to him afterwards to congratulate him and really boosted his confidence by saying, well, Ian, now we've got your stupid job thing out of the way, we can concentrate on the really important things, like the fact that you've got about as much chance of having a child as Auntie Cardboard has. Congratulations, Ian. With a sensitive and tactful family like the Aldridges and the Macys around you, the last thing you should ever want to do is bring a child into their world anyway. The end.
Yeah, you know what? The best thing about this week's Archers, apart from us having to do this, was finally finding out that Ian smokes. I didn't know Ian smoked.
Really?
No.
He's always smoked. He's always outside having a fag. Yes.
Is he? Yes.
Yes. Not paying attention.
No. I wonder what I must be doing while he's out having a fag.
Having one yourself.
Oh, maybe.
Maybe you both pop out for one at the same time.
13 quid those fags cost me, Freeman. 13
I
quid.
I know.
There we are. Anyway, that was brilliant. Cheered me up no end. Thank you very much for that, Lucy. Now, is there anything you particularly want to talk about?
No, there is not. I'm slightly worried about the fact that I can hear myself back again, but is that because I've got my headphones on too high, I wonder?
Maybe you have your headphones too
high. No, I can still hear myself. Never mind. I shall just ignore it. I'm a bit worried about Peggy.
Oh, yes, she had a bit of
a... And I'm hoping that we're not going to... Yes. Mm. Bit of a wobble at Fabrice. He just waved a bit of Harmony hairspray up her nose and she was fine. I do like her getting irritable with Jennifer. And then it's a kick the cat thing, isn't it?
Yeah.
Peggy gets irritable with Jennifer. So Jennifer marches off and gets annoyed with Lillian, who then beats herself up, you know, puts her boxing gloves on and bashes herself over the head. And so the long day wears on. There did seem to be a sort of a slight miscommunication, really, between Justin and Lillian. Because
yes.
I'm not sure Justin was going, that's it, piss off. I'm never seeing you again.
Yeah, I think he said, let's move on from this.
Yeah. Excuse me.
Crikey.
I'd clean
that microphone down if I were you. Or is it all over your laptop?
I did turn away. No, I did. I turned away.
Okay.
I don't know. Are we going to have some big wedding day? And also I'm a bit worried about Ruby.
Well, yes.
Do you think they're going to have some sort of deathbed rapprochement? It's either going to be over Peggy's deathbed or Ruby's deathbed. I'm not sure which one.
Yeah, well, this is what
I
said on
Twitter.
Maybe
they could combine them two and put them both in the same basket. Well, they could curl around together and
well, they
die.
They could have them both euthanized by Alistair, couldn't they?
Can you imagine Alistair going, she had a good life and I'm afraid we just had to put it out. No, it was Rosie. It was Ruby you were supposed to put down, Alistair. No, where's Mum?
I wouldn't put it past them.
No.
I tell you, those two, Alistair and Anisha.
Have her eye out for a start.
She must have finished filming Line of Duty by now. I'm expecting her to come back pretty soon.
Yes. Yeah. Yep. Yeah.
Because Rex came back down, didn't he? Was he in this week or last week? I can't remember.
Last week.
So
he just sort of popped back and said, oh, yeah, she's having a hell of a time, and then disappeared again.
Mm. Yeah, well, she'll be back in it soon, I'm sure.
So what do we think about the Piplet?
As in, well, I think it's been, as predicted, she said she's not going to keep the child, so she's having a termination. That's the right decision as far as I can see for her. And it, like we discussed last week, it would be ludicrous, unfathomable if someone of her age in her position, single with, you know, a career ahead of her, would put that all on hold for a child that she's conceived with a dope like Toby.
Oh, hang on. Sorry, I'm being yelled from downstairs. Just hold on one second. I'm
okay.
Sorry.
I thought that was my doorbell.
Sorry. Hang on.
Well, dear listener, I will keep you talking while Lucy goes off to see who was at the front door. I'm slightly worried that it might be. Who is that in the background? Can you hear? Oh, I love eavesdropping. There we are. She'll be back any moment now. There she is, coming up the stairs. Better than the Archer sound effects, these, aren't they?
Hello.
Hello.
Sorry, that was my wine delivery.
Oh, right. Oh, well. Where were you?
Talking about Pip's termination.
Oh, yes.
Happily? Mm. Yes. Why are we calling it a termination, not an abortion?
Well,
she said termination, didn't she?
Her terminology was termination.
Mm.
I think,
is that because that's a cowie type thing? Is that sort of agricultural terminology?
I think that's what they call it these days, don't you?
Oh, really?
Yeah, I think so.
Ah.
I'm not very experienced in these ways, but I think they do. They call it a termination rather than an abortion. Because abortion is loaded, isn't it, with
yes,
emotion.
Yes. 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 No, I'm all for it. I'd never heard it not called that, or particularly noted it not being called one thing or the other before.
Mm-hmm.
I'm knackered now. I've just run, sprinted back upstairs.
I could hear you, yeah. I was just saying that the sound effects are better than the Archers. We'll probably keep that bit in, because we could hear the chap talking.
And the sneezing. Yeah, yeah. Great. Oh, should we do Claire from Clapham?
Let's do that.
Hello, Ambridge 3962.
Hi, Dumpty Dum. It's Claire from Clapham here. Just very quickly wanted to say, first of all, congratulations on your 200 episodes. Yay! And sorry, the technology didn't work last week. And I've been looking forward for ages to how the wedding would fall apart between Lillian and Justin. And now I'm kind of dreading how they will have some sort of mushy reunion and get married after all, which would be so disappointing. But I dare say that's what's going to happen, especially after this week's kind of misunderstood conversation. I'm pretty sure Justin wants to put the past behind him and carry on. Whereas Lillian's interpreted it as he wants to move on and separate. Oh, dear. Why do they do these things to us? And then they'll be all mushy again. And I didn't really enjoy that. And also, I just think, Lillian, do you know, stand on your own 2 feet. Goodness me. He's got weird, control-y tendencies. Nip it in the bud. Anywho. It's snowing here, so I hope everyone listening to this is warm and cosy. And I'm speaking from underneath a blanket, so I'm warm and cosy. And keep up the good work. Bye.
Thank you, Claire. Oh, by the way, did you get snow at your end?
Beg your pardon. Oh, yes, I did.
Well, it's down to -8 tonight. Anyway, so,
really?
Yes, here.
-8 in Oxford?
Yes.
Why have you got all Frankie Howard?
What?
Yes! Yeah.
Titter you not.
Yes, it was bloody cold yesterday, even colder today, and I had the most miserable dog walk with horizontal sleet blowing in my eyes. Whichever way I turned my head, it still managed to go in my bloody eyes. Yes, it was grim. Mm. But is Oxford looking all beautiful and...
Well, it was.
Snowy and
it was,
deep
but it's
and
all
crisp
gone
and even.
Slushy and now it's started to freeze.
Grey.
So, yeah.
Right. Ah, so now it's breaky ankle
yes,
time.
Yes, I cycled into work today.
Yes.
But that was all right. It was uneventful.
Did
yes.
you?
Well, the roads were clear.
Good
roads
Lord.
Are clear. Just the
oh,
back
okay.
streets were a little bit dicey. But I, you know,
right.
I pushed it for a little while. But anyway, back to Claire. So...
Yes.
Thank you very much, Claire,
well,
for your... Well, she said some kind things about congratulating us on our 200th episode, and she said that it's about time Lillian stood on her own 2 feet, which is what you've been saying for a while.
Yeah, about 2 bloody years. I think... I still can't work out whether Justin is now being an idiot or just being unpleasant because he's being a peevish arse because... he does love her and he feels very sad. Whether this is just his true colours and he is just actually a peevish ass, or, you know, whether it's the whole wedding thing and maybe they just need to not get married and just jog along together as they are quite happily. I never understand why people have this overwhelming urge to get bloody married all the time.
Yeah, I know. Well, I've never done it, but I'm not very successful. Mm. I'm not even good at cards, so that phrase is...
Oh, I see, yes.
So, no, I've never really had the compunction. Compunction, is that the correct word? No, it's not. Compunction is completely something else. I've never had the urge to get married just because it just doesn't come in. But I guess in Lillian's situation, she's sold the house to... He's got the house now. It's security for her more than anything else, don't you think? Financial security.
Yeah. Yes. She just seems to have... You know, she's coming out of this. She's looking at the situation as if she should have been able to psychically see what Matt was doing. Nobody could see what Matt was doing.
We knew he was up to no
Matt
good.
Matt is an extra.
But what?
Yeah, because he's Matt and he generally is. But, Matt, you know, I think she did kind of resist as long as she... Am I just making excuses for her? I think I probably am, aren't I? But she did sort of resist him for as long as she could. She didn't sort of rush into anything. He did pay her back. She did see that as some sort of, you know, new start. But she's kind of taken it all on herself, you know, that she's responsible for what's happened to Auntie Cardboard. She's responsible for her mother, you know, as a knock-on effect of Auntie Cardboard, but, you know, feeling stressed about it all. And it just seems to be that she's kind of taken on that she is culpable for all of Matt's actions because she's, you know, Lillian does have a somewhat shaky, sort of not morals, but she kind of does tend to push boundaries a bit and do things that's probably somebody wiser and more mature wouldn't do. She does sort of lay herself open to guilt. So if there's any floating around, it seems to sort of stick to her.
Yeah. I think that's probably why I said on Twitter that I identify with her somewhat.
Yeah.
I've begun to see that.
She doesn't feel able to kind of say, no, do you know what? Not my circus, not my monkeys. I didn't do that. She sort of says, yes, right, what can I do to fix it? Mm. Because she is like a little guilt magnet.
God, I'll be interested to see what happens to Lillian then.
There, but for the grace of God, Robert.
Exactly. And what a bastard he is sometimes. Shall we...
Oh dear, this is a cheery episode. If anybody's got any antidepressants to take, I suggest you take them before the start. Go, just take them now. Just pause, take them now.
Oh dear. Tell you what, shall we hear from our resident therapist now? I think we probably need...
We need to lie down on the couch, don't we?
Hang on, here goes.
Greetings, Lucy Royfield, Millie Bell, and all Dumpty Dummers around the world. It's Witherspoon and Angus Haggis here. We had a beautiful snowfall in New York yesterday, putting everyone in the holiday mood, in contrast to the glum tidings in Ambridge. Lillian and Justin and Pip and Toby figured prominently in the malaise, but I'm going to talk first about Ian and Adam, more specifically Ian. He did seem to be a bit on the ledge this week when he found out that he was shooting blanks, as he told and then explained the meaning of the expression to Lexi. One may understandably think that he was being selfish. After all, he had been all gung-ho about adopting an older child until Helen stuck her 2 cents into it. Ian noted that he felt like less of a man because he couldn't have biological children of his own. That belief would anger many people, gay, straight, or otherwise. He seemed to have opened up a small vein of childhood trauma, and more significantly, internalized homophobia. He referenced the early loss of his mother and an overbearing and disapproving father. His new friend Lexi's words were helpful, but I still will give him 3 free hours of psychotherapy as a Christmas gift. After that, I charge. Regarding Lillian and Justin, I've shared my latest thoughts on social media about this panto story of a princess and prince and good fairy. In regards to Pip and Toby, I don't know what's going to happen. Toby impressed me with his mature response to the situation. It seems like Pip will terminate the pregnancy, but why have the storyline then? Perhaps the writers are looking to 20 to 50 years in the future when Ambridge will have to be repopulated. Finally, a very happy birthday to Royfield, and thanks for a wonderful week of 200th episode celebrations. In the spirit of the second series of The Crown, I wonder if we received a congratulatory telegram from the Queen herself. Talk to you all soon.
Oh, dear, I wish I could analyse things as well as that. It's, I feel a little, it's not fair. He's got better tools than us. That's what I'm saying.
Yes, of course he has. Yes. I did think that was very interesting, the sort of the vein of when he's talked about sort of that Adam is more of an open fighter than Ian, yeah. I think. Ian internalises and Adam externalises. Adam just goes around shouting at everybody and being grumpy and throwing things around and, you know, he's cross about Brexit and he's cross about Brian and he's cross about everything. And Ian sort of turns everything inward, which is much worse for your mental health, really, I think, if you're an internaliser rather than externaliser. But yeah, I just think Adam is an idiot. Adam isn't. I mean, we know Adam's an idiot, but of all the, he just seems to have said every single wrong thing. I mean, when Ian is driving the, they're driving in the car back from finding out that he's a Jaffa, and the first thing that Adam says is, "Okay, well, as you're a bit useless, would you like me to step in? I don't mind." You know, it's kind of, you know, you had a bash at it and clearly you're not up to the job. So now let's bring on the big guns, i.e. me, you know. And it, literally the bloke had found out sort of 15 minutes before.
Yeah.
And then
he could have waited a little
he's
while.
He's saying
yes,
to
I
him,
agree.
Yes, like a year mm-hmm. or something. Or let Ian yeah. suggest it. You know, but just wading in, and then Ian's in the middle of, you know, his one triumph, which is his gala night at bloody Charlie's Pockets, at Gay Grables, and you know, and then even then, Ian's sort of, you know, basking in glory, and Adam brings it up again, and you think, shut up, just you know, he's clearly inherited. Adam's clearly inherited his mother's sensitivity and tactfulness, hasn't he? God. I just felt so sorry for Ian, and you know the way the way that Brian knew, and you know, just terrible, terrible.
Hmm. Yeah. I agree. And but that is Adam. I mean, it's not out of character, is it, for him to do this?
No, but you'd think if it was somebody he wasn't particularly in tune with. You know, like I could imagine him being a bit insensitive with Debbie, maybe, or with Alice. But with his own husband, you know, you'd think maybe he might think, you know, how would I feel about coping with that news, and what would I want to hear, and how would I want to be supported? You know, unbelievable. Anyway,
yeah, I think we should move on because I don't have much to add to that, to be frank.
Hello, it's Auntie Jean here. Hello to everybody in Dumpty Dumland, and a big thank you to all who did the 200th episode. It was really, really good, and it was lovely to hear Hedley. She's marvellous. We want Kathy back immediately, please. Thank you very much.
We do.
Just some thoughts for this week. Emma's got an enormous chip on her shoulder, hasn't she? So enormous, she could probably build all those houses, new houses, by herself. Ridiculously, well, I can't even say, to be honest. I thought, this is just so over the top. She doesn't need to be going on at Johnny like this. I nearly phoned in last week and said that I thought Ian was firing blanks, but I didn't, because I thought I might get on live. But never mind, that's what I thought. You'll have to believe me. I did think that. Lillian, what are you going to say about Lillian? I think the wedding will go ahead. I think she misinterpreted what Justin was saying. He's going to forgive her. Yeah. It'll all be wonderful. But never mind all of that. The big question is, oh, I've forgotten about Pip, hadn't I? Well, it's going to be such a non-story if she has termination, isn't it? I mean, unless her mother and father get involved, yeah. Forget it. Yes, the big story. The big story is, what on earth is wrong with Shula? I don't know, she said to Alistair when he asked. So what storyline's coming up? Is she going to drop dead on Christmas Day? We can but hope. Right, well, that's me, I think. I'll see you all soon, hopefully. In the meantime, lovely to speak to you all again. Bye.
Bye.
Now, I've just had a thought. Bye. I've just had a thought regarding the Pip story and the termination. And what is the point of it? Now, to me, it seems that the point is that she will go through with the termination, but she hasn't told the family. She hasn't told David. She hasn't told Ruth. But Elizabeth knows. And it almost came out earlier in the week, didn't it? When she, when the kids phoned Jill. Because they, because she'd lied, Elizabeth had lied that she'd said she'd taken Jill to the dentist when actually she'd taken Pip.
No, she hadn't. No, she hadn't. She lied and said that she'd gone to the dentist because she'd gone into town to sort out a present for the twins.
No, but I mean, but that isn't why she'd gone into town. She'd gone into town because she'd taken Pip in, hadn't she?
No, Pip had driven herself in. That's why she was late with the beef.
Oh, okay. So why did they, I don't understand why there was that really arch scene with Jill going, really? I don't remember going
to the
dentist.
Because we're supposed to get all very excited about presents and no one's grasped yet that we don't give a shit.
Okay, fair enough. All right, but anyway, I reckon that they will find out at maybe in a year's time, who knows, and that will cause a great big hoo-ha. Unnecessarily, they will feel completely outraged that that they didn't include her in that decision, and that's why they're going to do that, I think.
Right. Hang on. What? David and Ruth will be outraged.
Yes, David and Ruth.
That Elizabeth knew and she didn't share it with them.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hmm. I would pay quite a lot of money to hear Jill's reaction, though. When she finds out that there is a Toblet on the way, a Toblerone. I love the way Auntie Jean can be so rude, but because of the lovely way she speaks, it sort of has this veneer of cosiness about it. She could say anything, could she? I murdered several thousand people today, and you'd go, oh, lovely Auntie Jean.
It's very true. Oh, who's next?
New York Nigel.
Ah.
New York Nigel here, who missed Dumpty Dum Live. I'm a loser.
Oh, dear.
You guys get better.
You missed nothing,
like a
Nigel,
second pressing of Tumble Tussock. Naked Fingers tossed in to give a bit of a rich mould. Love you, Naked Fingers. And Brian, you can't keep your willy to yourself. Can't be helped. Don't you stop to think about the sprogs you generate. Don't straight men think about what happens when they generate a baby? The talk between Ian and Brian was painful. Gay people are still too afraid or excluded from normal to contribute. Brian, lost cause anyway. No point in trying to explain anything to him. Jenny, darling, stupid cow, blabbing to someone she knows to be hopeless. They live in a straight and privileged, safe little world that makes me sick. And hey, bit of a state Pip, meet bit of a state Ian, who can't have children at all. Pip gets pregnant, throws it away. Brian sprogs children. Lexi leaves children on the continent for financial reasons. Same gender attraction people don't have great moral models on parenting. Lesbians do great. They've got more options. Gay men settle for being jolly uncles. Straight people have often made a mess of it, and gays won't do any better. But straight should admit that sprogging a breeder isn't the be-all and end-all. What if Matt was in this story and fired blanks? So I'm not stupid enough to think that Pip will carry the Fairbrother Archer blastocyte to term for Adam and Ian, and dear Christine needs as much tumble tussock from Jimus as she can get. Nothing like a deep draught of tumble tussock, so long as you can get past Auntie Cardboard's mauve directoire knickers. Or do we think she wears baby doll or tummy tucking slim granny panty briefs?
Ah, and then he got cut off because he went on for over 2 minutes, unfortunately. But he was
cooked. He was away.
Both barrels.
The man's a vicar. He's a vicar. I think he should be defrocked.
Well, apart from he said very nice things about me.
Yeah, all right.
What did he say? That I should be
He said you were a
tossed
rich
in
mold.
Or tossed off. I'm not so,
He said you were a rich mould that needed tossing off.
Well, there you go. It's the nicest thing anyone's said to me this week. I'm going to New York. My two best mates there, Witherspoon and Nigel. Sod Christmas in Wakefield. I'm going to Manhattan.
You and your rich mould.
Oh, yes. Well, he's got a very good point.
He has got a remarkably good point, and I was applauding, but I didn't really want to interrupt his flow because he was away. The man was on fire. Absolutely right. All these people who are sort of going, oh, what a shame that you can't have a child, you know. It's sort of like, oh, well, you tried, though, didn't you? Well, you know, getting it horrendously wrong all over the shop. You know, it reminds you of what an incredibly, what did you call me? A breeder. As a breeder, it reminded me of how very privileged I am, New York Nigel. But I did very much enjoy that, yes.
Turn on me.
I know. You're all right at the minute, but I don't want to dwell on what Auntie Cardboard wears in the undercrackers department. Thank you very much, Nigel.
No. I think it sounded like on the original recording, he was going to go on to say that she's very much in danger of becoming a gay icon.
Really?
It did sound a bit like that. Yeah.
Auntie Cardboard, a gay icon.
Well, I mean, Barbara Cartland was, so why can't Auntie Cardboard be?
True dat. We have had some emails. Ah, yes.
All right.
Welsh Witch, who said, I think Pip will have a termination, much against Toby's real wishes. I think it'll come out with Toby getting drunk in the bull, crying into his pint, and the revelation will be heard by David, Ruth, Adam, Ian, Tom and Kirsty. Good Lord. the whole village
all there
is
with
there.
Their ear trumpets.
Yeah. What did you say? David and Ruth will lose the plot with Elizabeth, that's what you said, who will feel that she should have told them about what Plip was planning. Ian and Adam will be angry as they would have adopted the baby, and it will reawaken the loss that Tom and Kirsty felt when they lost their baby. As for Justin and Lillian, I'm wondering if Lillian will offer to sell Amside to Justin so she can give Christine her money back. Have a good Christmas, everyone. Now, Welsh Witch has got form for being right.
Yes.
She is not a witch for nothing.
But Justin does own... Oh, Justin owns the Dower House. And
yes.
That was about £1 million.
Yeah.
Where's the money for that?
Well, never mind that. Will Lillian sell Amside? Because that's the thing he wants and that's the thing she said no to. But if she does, she's absolutely sacrificed everything for Matt, hasn't she? She's done exactly what we said. She's just chucked herself onto the funeral pyre to absolve Matt. Because of her own guilt. And she doesn't deserve that.
No.
You know, he was a con man and he conned her. And con people, they con everybody. They con the people they love as well as total strangers.
Of course they do. But Auntie Cardboard doesn't need the money.
Yes, she does. She's brassic now, isn't she?
Yeah, but I mean, she's got a pension. I mean, she doesn't need it to live day to day, does she? I mean, she's not.
Well, no, but Peggy. Well, but possibly because Peggy said, "Oh, I'll look after you, and I'll look after you in the laurels and all that stuff." Because it seems to be, as we said before, it seems to be her main aim in life to struggle into the laurels, come what may.
Not everyone ends up in a care home, do they? A nursing home?
No, but Auntie Cardboard actively wants to. God knows why. She can take over the Jack Woolley Memorial Bench overlooking the Blue Tits. But I think that she does need the money, actually, I think, for her own security. And the fact that she's fretting about it so much and then she's making Peggy fret and all that, that would be enough to push Lillian into doing it. Yes, I think you may very well have a point there, Welsh Witch.
Yep. Well, we shall see. You have been proved right before.
Now, we have all been very remiss. Well, when I say we all, I mean me.
Oh.
I have not said happy birthday to Royfield. for December the 9th.
Is it actually partly because his birthday? I thought
it was actually his birthday on December the 9th.
Well, happy birthday, Royfield, from me and from Lucy, who has
did
just...
not sent his card because I thought... Normally, it's too boring to go into. But anyway, I missed it. And I'm very, very sorry, Royfield, and I do hope that you had a nice birthday.
Yeah. All right. Well, next time I'm in San Francisco, I'll buy you a pint. And that'll be in about 3 years.
That'll be your entire present from both of us. One pint in 3 years'
You buy
time.
Them half. Yeah, but you see the price of beer in San Francisco? $9.
You won't be drinking by then anyway, Robert. Robert.
Oh, yes.
Right. Royf, I've just written me Derek joke, so I'm going to go back a bit, so you're going to have to put this back in again.
Yeah, I think we should take an ad break.
Look what free speech has gotten you, right? And if free speech is going to bring a Hitler to power, are you still going to defend the rights of those people to speak?
If you talk about the things that affect your daily life.
The secret to being a good actor.
I don't really care, actually, whether Britain remains Britain.
His dad was actually murdered in front of him.
Marine Le Pen has changed the Front National.
If it's like kind of like a documentary investigative reporting, serialized true crime, that often gets into questions about the justice system or the media.
In an uncertain world, there's always music which can be listened to in good company. Welcome to Friday 15, a show where you speak to friends and interesting people to the backdrop of great tunes and allocate 15 minutes to vote.
Good question. Really good question.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com. A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
And now let's sit back for some social media from our veteran specialist, Millie Bell.
Good day, everyone. Millie Bell here. The forum has been fairly busy this week. We've particularly been looking at storylines for the younger generation in Ambridge. We've been looking at euphemisms, true love in Ambridge, and what lovely things could happen to Kathy. So if you'd like to get involved in those, we encourage you to go to dumptydum.com/forums and give us your ideas and predictions. Now, the Facebook page has been very busy, as it always is when we have very busy Archer's weeks. And we started off with some predictions for Adam and Ian. And Martin Lightburn said, "Do a swirl. A bit of Ian's, a bit of Adam's, then they'll never know who the real father is. Why not chuck in some of Ed's tech cells as well, if he's got any left?" Well, really? Some people have got very vivid imaginations. And Michelle Heflin said, "Pip won't tell Toby, but will go away ostensibly on a farming technology course to hide the pregnancy and have the baby, and will secretly have it adopted by Ian and Adam." And that was actually a bit of a common thread there. A lot of people thinking that would happen, but I'm not sure that I'm sold on that idea myself. We also had a discussion started by Witherspoon on what could go wrong during the twins' 18th birthday party. Not the family one, but the one in the flood bar. Alison Butler suggested Freddie's cool friends encourage a drunk Lily to take drugs for the first time. Harrison has to intervene, causing Freddie's arrest for poisoning his sister and the closure of the bull. Elizabeth blames Kenton for killing and imprisoning her children. David blames Kenton for struggling to repay the money he and Jolene still owe for Brookfield. And Jill, worried that it will be a difficult Christmas, bakes some more mince pies. Our William says Alice attends the party and gets very drunk again. Pippi's also at the party and Alex asks why she's so glum. Alice blurts out the news of the pregnancy in front of Kenton and Toby. Joda Bank says someone will climb on the roof and fall off in an 18th birthday tribute to Daddy Pargeter. Probably Alice, as I'm sure we've got a functioning alcoholic storyline on the cards. We also told you that we were going to be talking to Kathy Perks, and I hope we sent a few that way to the podcast. Now, we also got very cross this week with Jennifer's tone of moral outrage towards Lillian. She was really enjoying herself at Lillian's expense. And, you know, we had a bit of a discussion about that, but really, we didn't have agreement on that. And Leslie Greaves said, sorry, don't agree, about time someone made Lillian face reality. And I suppose I agree, but I just think there's ways we can do things. And I didn't think that was very kind at all. Also, and I think this was Witherspoon, said when Jennifer told Lillian that Brian told her about Lillian and Paul and that Matt had told Brian, Lillian appeared deeply surprised. I forget, did Lillian not know that Matt knew about Paul and her? And I must admit, I couldn't remember either. We also discussed the fact that in the middle of the week, Lexi seems to be after Witherspoon's job because she's very good at assisting people and acting as a mediator. We were very impressed with that. And we also had a discussion about whether Emma feels she no longer needs the younger vote anymore because she was so rude to Johnny. Tom Williams said, she's annoyed me now in the build-up to the election. Emma became a firm fan favourite. Why snap at Johnny like that? He's harmless and was clearly joking, poor lad. Steve Gibbs said, Emma's become the Ambridge Donald Trump. And Janice Pope said that Johnny was an easy target for all of Emma's frustrations with the world. A lot more on that topic, and we'd love you to get involved. We also said, after the last episode, it's off. And Dan Lord said, the way Lillian framed it when she spoke to Peggy was that Justin has had enough of me. Kind of missed out a good chunk of what had been really happening. But
yeah,
I think Peggy will go to speak with Justin and tell him he needs to go and get his girl. As Justin no longer has his mother, he will listen to Peggy and go to reconcile with Lillian in time for a comedy wedding scene, thanks to Lillian having ticked all the wrong boxes on the Lower Loxley wedding checklist, as if that could be a thing. Prosecco, not champers, a vegan-only main course, and some of Freddie and Nolatandu's mushrooms somehow getting into the mix for a trippy Christmas cliffhanger. And Deb Thorne said that she'd had a teeny tiny birthday drink and she had a momentary panic when she saw the thread line and thought that Dumpty Dum was finished. No, it's not. I can assure you we are still going. And Debbie Kay said a naughty giveaway before the omnibus, but she agrees there will be a happy Christmas ending because very little happens in the Archers without a reason. Ruby was supposed to drive them apart, but will bring them back together. Mm-hmm. Lots more on that subject. And of course, we would like you to get involved. So please do. You can look us up on Facebook. Just look up Dumpty Dum and you will find me and Yokel Bear and Witherspoon. And we'd love to talk to you. Until next time. Hooroo.
Thank you, Millie Bell. Actually, there was quite a lot of sense spoken and nonsense spoken on the on the social media this week. Yeah,
Sound so surprised. There often is.
Is there? Well, I guess it's because there's a lot of nonsense on my Facebook page that I tend to tune out.
Yes.
Not posted by me, but posted by others.
No. Yes. That's Facebook, you see. It's a terrifying, scary place.
It is. Right. Mm. Oh, speaking of social media, isn't it about time you did the tweets of the week?
It is.
Marvellous.
John said, tit come a mechanic. He must be nearly 120 by now. You had to add hey to the last car he drove. A. Dr. Sally Huxtable said, Pip, your whole life revolves around getting up early and milking. Having a baby will change nothing. European Squid. Is this Harrison's dream sequence in which he's a real policeman? Anna Kenyon. When Alistair was going, but why are you sad, Shula? Because I am Shula and my face is set in the form of a dog's ass forevermore. And tweet of the week, Karen Field. Can't wait for the denouement of this one. David, you kept my daughter's pregnancy secret. Elizabeth, you killed my husband. I win. That is absolutely how that's going to play out.
It is, isn't it?
Yes.
Oh, dear. But well, this is going to be a New Year revelation, I guess.
Oh, God, yeah.
I just want, like I said on Twitter, and I just said,
why can't everything just be nice?
Yes, exactly. I need a happy ending to something.
Oh, the show, that'll be happy.
Yay.
Someone will murder Linda, that would be good.
I don't want, no, that would be awful, actually. Because Linda is one of those people that I, by turn, love and loathe. And Emma's turning into one of those now. Loved Emma with the election, etc. And now she's gone back to the old Emma, which I didn't like that much.
No. No. Do you reckon that poor old Johnny is going to give Ed the job? He's going to say to Adam, give the job to Ed.
He could do. But does Ed want a full-time job driving a tractor?
I mean, he must do, surely. Because, I mean, he keeps going about tractor work, but he seems to be, you know, dumped fairly regularly. So, you know, surely something a bit more stable and with sick pay and holiday pay and everything he would like, wouldn't he?
Okay, yeah. I mean, I just thought he was a freelancer. He liked that kind of lifestyle. But
maybe if he wants to get a mortgage and stuff, he's got to have a permanent job.
Oh, that's true. That's very true. Because I doubt he's got 6 years' worth of accounts, has he? Or however much you need.
I think you need your inside leg measurement and a kidney at the moment to get a mortgage. But anyway.
Oh, well, I can provide one of those.
Do I need to do the Patreon bit now?
Yes, you do.
If you would like to help keep our little show on the road, there are two ways this can be done. You can donate by hitting the donate button on the site, or you can sponsor us via patreon.com.
Remember, to get in contact, you can send us a voice message via SpeakPipe on the website or call 0203 031 3105. That's 0203 031 3105 to leave a message. You can find Royfield and Lucy at Dumpty Dum. That's at Dumpty Dum on the Twitters. And Lucy is at Lucy V. Freeman. And I can be found at Naked Fingers. And that's your lot. Happy birthday, Royfield.
Happy birthday, Roy.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.